This is NBC Nightly News, Monday, March 17th, with John Chancellor reporting from the NBC News Center in New York.
Good evening. There was starkly bad news today from South Vietnam. The South Vietnamese have decided to give up government control of most of the Central Highlands. Three whole provinces are being abandoned, Kontum, Pleiku, and Darlac, because the North Vietnamese have so many troops in those provinces. Any further supply for the Central Highlands will have to be by air, since the roads are held by the North Vietnamese. The South Vietnamese will reform in the provinces along the coast where they can be supplied by sea. In all, it's a decision of great magnitude, taken at a time when the North Vietnamese are fighting at a stronger pace than at any time since the 1972 Paris Peace Accords. Despite repeated government airstrikes, the Viet Cong and North Vietnamese seem to be tightening their control of the city of Ban Mae Thuit. A relief force was stopped a mile and a half from that city. Civilians are fleeing in all directions, trying to get out of the crossfire, but there is no longer any safe place for them to go. It is no longer possible even to take out wounded, except at the cost of many additional casualties. In Washington, at the Department of Defense, analysts were examining the South Vietnamese decision to abandon the Central Highlands. The seriousness of that decision cannot be underestimated. Until now, during the whole war, only one entire province had been lost to the enemy. Here's the story from the Pentagon, reported by Robert Goralski.
Pentagon sources view the pullback from the Central Highlands not as a retreat, but as a tactical withdrawal. South Vietnamese government forces are said to be regrouping for a counterattack. The aim would be to retake key positions. According to Pentagon sources, the North Vietnamese are involved in a three-pronged offensive. In addition to the drive in the Central Highlands, the North Vietnamese are driving toward Hue and toward Thái Ninh. Analysts say the main reason for the action is to win political rather than military objectives. Hanoi apparently wants to prove President Thieu's government is unable to defend the country. Only a small portion of North Vietnam's 200,000 troops now in the south are actually involved in the three main operations. If the rest are committed to battle, the situation could become truly grave. Robert Goralski, NBC News, Washington.
Field reports from South Vietnam indicated today that planes from the South Vietnamese Air Force made raids in Cambodia, trying to knock out North Vietnamese artillery positions. Elsewhere in Cambodia, the airstrip at Nik Long has fallen to Cambodian rebels. Rocket attacks on Phnom Penh itself were less intense today, but within the city there were more indications that foreign missions are closing up. The American embassy today was burning secret papers, and American officials told relief agencies to pare down to essential workers. And in a move of great symbolic importance, the last French diplomatic representatives left Cambodia. Jim Laurie has that story from Phnom Penh.
At times of crisis in Cambodia, part of the French community has always left, only to return later. As the colonial rulers of Cambodia 25 years ago, the French developed a special attachment to Cambodia, which even now is difficult to break. Faced with the worsening situation, the French have decided officially to withdraw. The French embassy here is to be closed. The government is providing air transport to Bangkok or Paris to anyone who wants to go. Several hundred have gathered at the embassy. Many of them are Cambodians, lucky enough to have French passports. Because of the special feeling the Cambodians and French have for each other, the French departure comes as a certain blow to Cambodian morale. The Australians and others have closed their embassies and pulled out, but many thought the French would stick it out to the end. Jim Laurie, NBC News, Phnom Penh.
In Thailand, a new government is being formed. Today, the man who is slated to be the prime minister said that Thailand will recognize the People's Republic of China and ask that all American troops be withdrawn in a year. That statement apparently is designed to win left-wing Thai support for the new government. President Ford was on the road today talking about American responsibilities in international affairs. He said, wherever the bell tolls for freedom, it tolls for us. We'll have a report. Also in the news today, a landmark Supreme Court decision that offshore resources, including oil, are the property of the federal government, not of the states. We'll have that story, along with a look at some possible fraud on oil prices during and since the Arab oil boycott of 1973. There have been accusations that in some places, prices were raised illegally. Those stories and others in a moment.
Your Hoover dealer's putting on quite a show. It's the Hoover double feature sale, and it's a smash hit. When you buy a Hoover Dial-O-Matic, Celebrity, Convertible, or Portable Vacuum from your Hoover dealer, you get direct from the Hoover factory your choice of a Hoover blender, tricycle toaster, or steam iron for only $12.50. That's a 50% savings. You get a great vacuum cleaner plus an appliance at half price. The Hoover double feature sale. See your Hoover dealer for details today.
This is my mother, but a lot of my friends tell me, your mom doesn't look old enough to have a daughter your age.
Well, I do try to take care of myself. I get my rest, exercise, and I take a Geritol tablet every day to be sure I get the iron and vitamins I need.
Geritol, more than twice the iron of any ordinary supplement and some very important vitamins.
And Debbie, you can tell your friends that your mother married very young.
One great summer of your life is here in Canada. Warm, friendly, spectacular, beautiful. Easy to get around in, easy to plan for. See your travel agent, auto club, or carrier. Canada, this summer.
There was compromise in the air this afternoon in Washington in terms of the administration's request for more Cambodian aid. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee approved a compromise military aid bill which would give the Cambodians $82.5 million, but which would cut off all Cambodian aid at the end of June. That's a compromise suggested by the administration in a letter which was delivered today to the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Catherine Mackin has more on this story from Washington.
The Senate Foreign Relations Committee voted 9-7 to give the $82.5 million in aid to Cambodia, but it also voted a cutoff date for all future military aid. All American aid will end June 30th. Chairman John Sparkman said the money was needed.
We believe that it ought to be done. The majority of the committee believes that it ought to be done. Maybe they are about to go down the drain. I don't know, but there are lots of people there that are in need. And we felt that we ought to give this support.
The committee vote had been expected. The $82.5 million aid package actually is a White House fallback position. President Ford had originally asked Congress for $222 million. The question now is, will the full Senate and House buy the $82.5 million amount? Most Democratic leaders of both houses say no. The White House says it has not started counting votes yet. It says it's happy to have gotten its aid request this far. Catherine Mackin, NBC News, Washington.
All of that took place while President Ford was in South Bend, Indiana, talking about American responsibilities in the world and getting a warm Hoosier welcome. Tom Brokaw reports.
President Ford was the St. Patrick's Day Parade in South Bend, home of the Irish of Notre Dame. It was probably the most tumultuous welcome he's received as president. Thousands of spectators and high school bands lined the streets. And on this day in South Bend, the main street was renamed Old Ford Boulevard. President Ford called the reception unbelievable. On the Notre Dame campus, Mr. Ford was given another rousing reception in a huge auditorium filled to capacity. Some students threatened to walk out in protest, and a few did leave. But the rest of the audience, including students, stood and applauded at length when Notre Dame President Theodore Herzberg introduced President Ford for his speech on the dangers of isolationism.
The prospects for long-range peace have slowly but surely improved. Despite setbacks and current international problems, the standards of human life have been lifted almost everywhere. Yet today, we hear another theme. We are counseled to withdraw from one world and go it alone. I've heard that song before. And I'm here to say, I'm not going to dance to it.
The president didn't mention Vietnam or Cambodia specifically, and many on the platform with him were grateful for that. Democratic Senator Birch Bayh called it an exceptional speech.
When asked why he didn't mention Vietnam or Cambodia by name, Press Secretary Ron Nessen said this was not an appropriate occasion. As Nessen put it, the president has stated his case on Vietnam and Cambodia. Now it's up to Congress. Tom Brokaw, NBC News, with the president at Notre Dame.
In Cambodia today, American planes stepped up their airlift of rice and ammunition. The arms for Cambodia are coming from an airfield in Thailand called Utapao. That's a Thai government base, but the planes carrying the ammunition are private American planes on contract to the American government. Don Oliver reports from Utapao.
This is the heart of the supply operation by the U.S. military to try to prevent the blockaded city of Phnom Penh from being overrun by the communist-led Khmer Rouge. It is the biggest U.S. airlift since the Berlin blockade, and more dangerous. The loading is done by military personnel, and all but one of the 16 planes used in the airlift are Air Force C-130s. The military runs the operation, but all the pilots and crews on the planes are civilians. The contract flyers are under the direction of this man, William Byrd, operator of Bird Air, which has the government contract to deliver supplies to Cambodia. So far, only one Bird Air plane has received any damage, and that was minor. Flights were suspended a couple of days when as many as 50 rockets hit the Cambodian airport. There has been no communist anti-aircraft fire, but if the planes are shot down, they must depend upon the Cambodian Air Force to rescue the crew. The men know this, but they think the risks are worth taking. Kit Cattell wanted the good money that Bird Air pays, so he left his father's feed store in Missouri to fly the Phnom Penh run.
The danger's all on the ground. And therefore, we try to decrease the ground time considerably.
The risks are worth it for the money, Vivek.
At this stage, yes.
At the rate they're flying now, it is expected that 33,000 tons of supplies will be airlifted into Phnom Penh during the month of March. That is, if the communist shelling at the Cambodian airport doesn't force the cancellation of any more flights. Don Oliver, NBC News, Utapao Air Force Base, Thailand.
Yesterday, Senator Stuart Symington said that American embassy in Phnom Penh was secretly controlling Cambodian government airstrikes. The Pentagon said today, that's not true. What is true, according to a Pentagon spokesman, is that American planes flying reconnaissance missions over Cambodia give the government information on rebel movements and potential targets. The spokesman said that's a far cry from controlling bombing.
I love bachelor parties.
The noise, the smoke, the smorgasbord.
Doesn't Snookum like the party?
Time for the old 1-2.
For aches and pains with upset stomach, take Alka-Seltzer. It gives the old 1-2 the old 1-2.
You said you checked for the Alka-Seltzer.
For acid indigestion alone, try Alka-Seltzer Gold without aspirin.
Go on now, eat as you like. Yeah, eat as you like. Take a good, healthy bite of life.
So what if you wear dentures? Now Super Polygrip's plastic cream formula holds strong, holds long. Helps keep even hard-to-hold dentures in place so you can eat almost anything. Super Polygrip with plastic or regular Polygrip. Go on, eat as you like.
Take a good, healthy bite of life.
The Supreme Court ruled unanimously today that the federal government and not the individual states owns all offshore resources, everything in the sea, including oil. It turned down the claim of Atlantic Coast states that ancient Dutch and British charters give them domain beyond the three-mile limit the states already control. Irving R. Levine has more on the significance of today's decision.
This map of the ocean floor off America's Atlantic coast shows where exploration for oil will now take place. The federal government will invite oil companies within a week or so to say precisely where they want to drill. and the governor of an Atlantic state expressed disappointment.
It now makes the state's future with respect to offshore rights a political one, one that has to be addressed in the Congress rather than the courts. And it doesn't mean an end to the state's point of view. It just means that the fight now has to be carried on in the Congress.
What do you think the chances are?
I think the chances are pretty good.
In Washington, Interior Secretary Rogers Morton promised the states consultation on protecting the environment, but held out little hope that the states will share in the income from the oil leases.
Even with today's decision, it will take at least 3 years before oil starts flowing from wells off the Atlantic coast. But next year, the nation's big budget deficit could be reduced by at least $2 billion by payments from oil companies to start drilling. Irving R. Levine, NBC News at the Interior Department.
Congressman Al Ullman, who is chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, made public today a compromise energy proposal to counter the one offered by the Ford administration. The Ullman plan calls for gasoline taxes of 37 cents a gallon by April 1980. There would be an income tax rebate on the first 9 gallons used every week. And cars getting fewer than 16 miles a gallon would be taxed up to $1,000 on 1981 models. That tax would start at $200 on 1977 models getting fewer than 14 miles a gallon. For months now, the federal government has been looking into accusations that it wasn't just the Arab oil countries and other producers which drove prices up so high since the beginning of the energy crisis. There have been many reports of overcharging. One of the victims may have been the Los Angeles Power Department. Here's a report from Jack Marshall.
Customs agents are said to be going through oil tanker logbooks and port customs records to see if they were falsified for profit during the energy crisis. Agents are also questioning the possible victims of overcharging, including large power companies and oil refineries. The Los Angeles Power Department opened its books to investigators several times in the past 2 months. During the height of the embargo, prices rose as high as $25 a barrel, 5 times what it was before. At the time, power officials blamed it all on the Arabs.
We were in rather desperate circumstances in December of 1973, January of 74. We could, in December, see that we were going to run out of oil about the middle of February. And we were, therefore, trying to buy oil anywhere we could get it. Other utilities were doing the same thing. We were competing for the limited amounts of oil that were available at that time. And we had to pay the price.
Customs officials say their investigation is not yet complete. They say it is international in scope and could involve major oil companies, oil brokers, and some say even the mafia. Criminal indictments, if there are any, could be handed down in a matter of weeks. John Marshall, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Shell Oil said today it's negotiating with the National Iranian Oil Company for a $15 billion partnership which would last 20 years. The deal envisions building of a big refinery on the Persian Gulf. Both companies would put up the money for that, and Shell would sell the oil in the United States. In return, the Iranian oil company would get 50% control of Shell gas stations in this country. The Federal Trade Commission today accused two big land companies, Horizon of Arizona and AMREP of New York, of defrauding hundreds of thousands of people in desert land sales since the 1950s. The FTC said, among other things, that AMREP even painted desert grass green and tied pine cones to trees to make plots look more desirable. On the New York Stock Exchange today, the Dow Jones Industrials opened the week with a 13-point gain. The average share price went up 43 cents.
When Litton introduced its first family-sized microwave oven, thousands switched to microwave cooking. We converted more with the first automatic defroster, even more with the first micro-browner steak grill. Now we're changing America's cooking ways again with solid-state Veracook oven control. Cook, reheat, roast, simmer, warm, defrost. Brings back old-fashioned slow-cook goodness, but at microwave speeds. Just remember the name Litton. We're changing the way America cooks.
Here's proof that Total is more nutritious ounce for ounce than the leading natural cereal. 1 ounce of Total gives you 100% of all mandatory vitamins and iron. To get these same nutrients from the natural cereal, you'd have to eat 25 ounces. Just think, 1 ounce of Total has more vitamins than this much of the leading natural cereal. Delicious whole wheat with 100% of all mandatory vitamins and iron. Only Total gives you both.
Secretary of Defense under President Johnson testified today before the Rockefeller Commission, which is investigating the activities of the CIA and other intelligence agencies. The commission has expanded its investigation to include not only the CIA's domestic activities, but to look into charges that the agency also plotted the assassination of foreign leaders. Charles Quinn reports.
The Rockefeller Commission is charged with investigating alleged illegal domestic activities by the CIA. Today's first witness, Clark Clifford, a former Secretary of Defense, was asked whether he had ever heard of plots to assassinate heads of foreign governments.
Now, there were times that from time to time we would send a team to a foreign power with which we did not have friendly relations. But the purpose of that team was to attempt to get lodged there so that they could produce intelligence information. But at no time were we ever informed that there was any plan being considered that would affect the head of a foreign government.
Later, Rockefeller was asked about reports that his commission would investigate the charges.
Any alleged activities of the character now being discussed that might have had relations in the United States, should there have been such, and should they have violated the statutes, would then come within our jurisdiction.
Rockefeller didn't want to come right out and say it because his commission's assignment is limited. It's supposed to investigate only domestic activities. But he conceded that if there were any plots abroad, they would have had to have been hatched here in this country. And today, it was clear that Rockefeller's commission is going to look into it. Charles Quinn, NBC News, Washington.
The FBI admitted recently that it had engaged in a widespread campaign to disrupt the civil rights movement in the 1960s. But just how far the FBI went is revealed in the case of a Baptist minister, the Reverend Donald Jackson, who is now known as Muhammad Kenyatta. Kenyatta, as he's now known, was active in the Mississippi civil rights movement. The FBI went to work on him with fake letters and caused Kenyatta to leave Mississippi and return to Philadelphia. Ford Rowan has more on the story.
These FBI reports refer to Muhammad Kenyatta as an agitator and black nationalist. Kenyatta sued the FBI and obtained these FBI documents showing how in 1969 the Bureau concocted a phony letter which forced Kenyatta to leave Mississippi. J. Edgar Hoover approved sending the fictitious letter warning Kenyatta to stay away from Tougaloo College. Kenyatta believed he was in danger because his opponents at the black college were armed. The FBI report notes that three pistols were handed out to members of one black group to resist Kenyatta.
Well, I think that when the FBI is aware of, at the very least, aware of a group of people, the thing they make reference to here, where they say there are 20 people met at Tougaloo College Chapel to form a Tougaloo Defense Committee to, and then some of the people, at least one of the people in the group, clearly was an FBI source, the pistols are handed out. When the FBI is aware of, at the least acquiescent to this sort of thing occurring, then sends the kind of letter that it sent, what it adds up to me as an effort to provoke some kind of violent situation.
Kenyatta's ACLU lawyers say the FBI illegally interfered with the civil rights movement. Kenyatta denied preaching hate or violating any law. He is now running for mayor of Philadelphia. The FBI declined comment. Ford Rowan, NBC News, Washington.
Aristotle Onassis will be buried tomorrow on his private island of Skorpios off the coast of Greece. The multimillionaire ship owner will be buried next to his son, who died 2 years ago in a plane crash. And from South Korea today, we have what may be the final chapter in the story of the newspaper Dong Ah Ilbo. It's a story worth telling. Some time ago, Dong Ah Ilbo began printing news the South Korean government didn't like. Suddenly, all advertising was withdrawn. Readers kept the paper going by cash gifts and sympathy ads. Then the paper's management dismissed reporters who'd been critical of the government. In response to that, editorial employees seized the plant 9 days ago. But today, gangs of young men hired by the management physically removed the strikers, and it looks as though the fight for press freedom at South Korea's largest newspaper is over.
Mother, I just won't take it. I've got my own laxative, and it tastes like chocolate. Milk of magnesia tastes like...
chocolate, see? New chocolate-flavored Phillips.
Chocolate Phillips? Does it work?
Of course. It's still gentle, thorough milk of magnesia. The kind of laxative doctors recommend most often. Your chocolate laxative can't say that.
Try the Phillips.
Chocolate Phillips. It tastes good.
Radio Shack has the perfect answer for anyone who hasn't bought a telephone answering system because the price was $99 to $150. Well, for 1 week only, you can buy Radio Shack's Duophone telephone answerer for just $59.95. Answers in your own voice and tapes the caller's message so you never miss another phone call again. The sale-priced Duophone answering system. And there's only one place you can find it, Radio Shack.
President Ford told a press conference in South Bend this evening that the fall of Cambodia, along with other reverses to American policy in South Asia, could, in his words, affect the national security of the United States. It was one of the strongest statements any Ford administration official has made about Cambodia, and here is the president making it.
I think these potential developments, to some extent, tend to validate the so-called domino theory. And if we have one country after another, allies of the United States, losing faith in our word, losing faith in our agreements with them, yes, I think the first one to go could vitally affect the national security of the United States.
When the president said that some recent events in South Asia to some extent tend to validate the so-called domino theory, he was talking about political changes that may be coming about in Thailand, South Vietnam, and the Philippines. Good night for NBC News.